It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Good evening and welcome back to another live episode here on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel. And every time I seem to be doing a live, it seems to be a different co-host. Delighted to have Johnny Main back in the co-host seat after some time away from the podcast himself, regularly standing in. Johnny, how's it going?
Yeah, really good. It's been a while, but it's nice to be talking about a victory instead of a defeat. It's been a few months now, I reckon, since I was on, but I've been enjoying the podcast as always. Callum, Philip, whoever's in the co-host seat with you, Glenn, seems to be always a good laugh.
Yeah, it takes a brave man to come on and step into the co-host seat and put their face onto YouTube as well or voice onto audio. But as always, it's always appreciated for those that do step up. And I guess, Johnny, we need to rely on players to step up when needed for Aberdeen, although despite Barry Robson maybe indicating there would be a sea of changes, there was only two last night in the game against Motherwell. Dante Polvara and Leighton Clarkson coming in for Duke and Connor Barron. Yes, admittedly, I did not spot that Duke had been dropped. That's how much he's been setting the heather on fire so far this season. But I think I saw your tweet yourself. You were a bit surprised to see just the two changes.
No, not surprised, because I think that's what Barry Robson tends to do. Maybe before the game, I was a bit disappointed and I thought we're going to see more of the same, but I wasn't necessarily surprised because I think that's what he tends to do anyway. He tends to rely on a core of players. And anyway, what do I know? He proved that Barry knew what he was doing, and I have no idea.
Yeah, it just shows all of us keyboard managers and those of us that, like myself and Callum and the guys at ABZ, here we go, that like to maybe talk up what we would do right, shows what we actually do know. And maybe there should be a little bit of faith, but I think, you know, as good as we were yesterday, we do also have to maybe caveat that and say that some of the defending on show from the opposition was extremely poor. However, if you think back to the game against St Johnstone, at least last night we were clinical in front of goal.
We were. I think there was a huge difference. I mean, it was a completely different performance from the one on Sunday at Kilmarnock and the one in the previous home game, which seems an age ago now, against St Johnstone at Audrey, which was really dire as well. I suppose if we were coming into the game just after a Kilmarnock game, we might not have been so pessimistic. But if you look at it through the lens of, you know, the Helsinki game, the disappointment against Pauk when we should have won, and then the Kilmarnock game, I think there was a bit of pessimism, certainly in my household, even amongst my kids, who were like, oh, we're going to get beat, aren't we? I was like, well, you never know. But I was thinking this could be a tough night. But the only thing that kept me hopeful was that Motherwell are in terrible form as well. And they were dreadful last night. But then again, 4-0 probably wouldn't have flattered us on the balance of play and the way we played. So even if Motherwell had been playing well, I still think the way we played last night, we would have got the result.
Yeah, and I tuned into to Gogsy's vlog this evening as well to see kind of his sad face and what it was like from a Motherwell perspective. And, you know, even he said at halftime it was 2-0 going on 4 and 4-0 going on 6 or 7. And it's hard to disagree, because some of the play that we had on show last night was night and day from what we saw on Sunday lunchtime down at Rugby Park. And what a difference it makes when we don't hoof the ball up the pitch to Bojan and Duke, and we actually, you know, put the ball on the deck and pass teams off the park, kind of what we saw last season from Barry Robson.
It was absolutely that. That's exactly, I was thinking about that today. We varied the play really well. We started off first 5 minutes. After the first 5 minutes, I could already tell the team were different than Sunday. The tempo, they were setting the tempo of the game. Lots of short passes, some nice passes. Some passes didn't come off, but they were trying at least to make what the kids would call progressive passes. And but also they weren't afraid to go a bit direct at times. And yes, the pitch did have a part to play in that. The pitch was obviously a lot nicer to play on than the plastic at Rugby Park. But still, the team's attitude seemed to be completely different. They were switched on from minute one. And yeah, the first 5 minutes set the tone for the rest of the game. And I was actually pleased, you know, with the opening 10-15, even though we hadn't scored. I thought, we're playing really well. If we keep playing this way, it'll come, and it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm glad it did come. And I think what was interesting last night as well was obviously that the couple of changes was in the midfield. We went back to, as everyone's calling it, the Frankfurt formation with the one up top. And as Kaiser says, you know, Clarkson showed some tremendous touches. He must get a free roll every week. We really saw the Leighton Clarkson of last season last night against Motherwell, some real kind of moments of quality playing in that advanced role where I think he's personally better suited. And for all the praise that Leighton Clarkson and Jamie McGrath got in that midfield, I actually thought Dante Polvara was really good last night in kind of doing some of the dirty work in that midfield in terms of winning the ball back. I think it was the second goal, you know, for the link-up play that Bojan and Nicky Devlin has, Polvara does a really good job of holding off the defender and holding up the ball to lay it off for Bojan in the first place, I think it is. So those two really kind of complemented each other well, and that's what you want to see when you're making those sort of changes.
Correct. I think having the extra man in midfield definitely suits the way the team is constructed. I also, it might have been my imagination, I am not a tactical whiz at all, but I had the feeling that Devlin got forward a lot more last night than compared to Sunday. And I think Jack McKenzie also got forward a lot more. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the pout game more than Sunday. Polvara, he's got a physical presence that he's starting to use now to our advantage in the league. I thought he was quite quiet. I was thinking about that today. I thought he was quite quiet, but I think he was effective.
It's funny because I was thinking about that as well, and I thought, I kind of agree in terms of that quietness, but it was almost that quiet effectiveness, kind of not saying he's up there with like a Kenny McLean or, you know, the predecessor in there that we rarely speak of. But doing kind of that dirty work and effectiveness, as you say, in midfield, but probably not being recognised for it.
Probably, but I mean, the recognition he gets is because Clarkson had, I think, his best game of the season by a distance last night, and he had the time to spray the passes. There was one pass in the second half. He pinged a beautiful skimmed cross-field pass that was about an inch off the ground. And I just thought he's feeling it. He's feeling confident. But he's not had the time or the space so far. And having that extra man in midfield gives him the time and space, I think, to play his game. And that Motherwell midfield last night was pretty ineffective. Yeah. I've no idea what formation they were playing actually, but we seemed to have men all over them. I mean, they were giving the ball away. We were breaking up play in their half frequently. And it just seemed like we were all over the place. And that's probably testament to the work that Polvara, Shaney, Clarkson and McGrath put in.
Yeah, and you know, Rob McLean and Steve Cowan spoke about kind of those players coming in terms of Dante and Leighton and trying to stake a claim ahead of Saturday, of course, the semi-final coming up on Saturday evening. Has Leighton Clarkson given Barry Robson a bit of a selection headache? Because Connor Barron's been excellent for us in recent games, but you can't ignore that performance from Leighton Clarkson. Do you think Barry's got a decision to make now?
Definitely. Personally, I would play Clarkson. If we're playing the same midfield or starting with the same midfield, I would play Clarkson again. Although that is harsh on Barron, to be honest. Yeah, it's a toss up, really. I wouldn't be if we get to like an hour and a half before the game and the team comes out and it's Barron and not Clarkson, I'm not going to be disappointed.
No.
But I would still prefer Clarkson because he does have that little bit of magic. And if we have an extra man in midfield, because I think Hibs play the two wingers and the two in midfield, I think we could get an advantage on them there.
Yeah, and I guess obviously Michael Moonen's going to join us a little bit later on to kind of help give us an insight on Hibs, and there was a few changes to their team on midweek, and I don't know if that's injury tactical from Nick Montgomery or you know, potentially saving some of their players. I'm looking at Martin Boyle in particular that started that game on the bench. But if we go back to last night's game, and that first goal kind of really summed up the way we'd been playing in the opening exchanges, as you said, you know, maybe finding our way that first 10, 15 minutes, but looking the better team. And then maybe it was getting to that stage where are we going to capitalize? And an absolutely superb ball in from Nicky Devlin, and question marks around the defending from a Motherwell point of view. But Jamie McGrath putting his head, I guess, where it hurts a little bit, and directing the header past Liam Kelly, and probably settled any nerves that certainly Aberdeen fans had going into this game, and certainly settled the players as well, because a reward for their efforts in those early exchanges.
Yeah, the goal came at a really good time. I think it was one of the. It was a bit of a lull in the game, and Motherwell started to get a bit more possession, and then we scored. Devlin has been the signing of the season for me. His cross was good. I think it flicks off the first defender a slight bit, but I'm not sure it makes that much of a difference. What impressed me, though, I know the defending was bad, but what impressed me from McGrath was that he didn't. In that situation where there's a man in front of you, sometimes the player behind just thinks he's not going to get it and isn't alert if the ball does come to him. McGrath didn't do that. He was ready to take the chance when it came. Lovely, smart finish. Beautiful finish. He's an elegant player. Sometimes he disappears from games, but last night he was good. He was effective.
Yeah, I'm glad for the large parts we're getting the St Mirren Jamie McGrath, not the Dundee United Jamie McGrath so far. And I think the point you make about being alert in the box is really kind of relevant to last night, because I think that's what we were last night. Every time the ball was kind of breaking, there was an Aberdeen player looking to get on the end of it where possible. And that sums up the second goal as well. Excellent build up. It seemed to come on the end of a really well worked passing move. I don't know how many passes kind of were involved in total, but again, from a Motherwell point of view, they must be so disappointed, because it was an excellent tackle on Bojan Miłowski. You know, kind of no claims that it should be a penalty or anything. But once again, from an Aberdeen point of view, we're alert to that second ball, and Nicky Devlin, don't know what he's doing up that end of the pitch, similar to Hakan,
It's
but
hacking.
a terrific finish, and kind of giving us that comfort blanket with a 2-goal lead.
Yeah, again, good time to score the second. Kind of killed Motherwell off a bit. Great move. Bojan was sharp. He was really sharp last night. I was just wondering, we take him off at half time, 2-0 up, save him for Saturday. And I thought he maybe went on a bit long in the game, but he was just so good last night. I was worried he was going to get injured, really. Great tackle, as you say, really easy for the Motherwell player to foul and concede a penalty and probably be sent off. But Devlin was there. Lovely side foot with the left as well, I think it was. Not
I think so,
as
yeah.
strong though. I think it was his left foot. Smart finish. Again, we were sharper all over the pitch last night, and we were a bit relentless and clinical when we needed to be. It was good going into halftime, but the two goals instead of the one, it was more relaxed for the second half anyway.
Yeah, no triple changes needed last night. But it just kind of question marks, though, I guess rightly from some fans, you know, given the fact the performance, and I know the pitch is obviously a huge factor in the mental fatigue potentially from the Thursday night, but how we can go from looking so clueless on Sunday to looking so sharp and alert on Wednesday night, because there's still not that much time between the games involved in that period. But just wonder how many home truths needed to be told on that journey back up the road on Sunday afternoon.
I'm sure that played a part in it. And I'm sure, as Robson said in his post-match, that the mental fatigue of the Thursday games seems to take more out of the players than I think we thought. Mm. And especially with the Pout game being one of those where we've snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, the players must have been feeling as flat as probably we were, you know, yeah. Maybe probably a lot flatter, actually, given that they were involved in the game. But yeah, the difference in attitude, the difference in sharpness, it's hard to explain. You know, I can't explain it. Robson probably tried to explain it last night, but I'm not sure. The pitch is one thing, the mental fatigue versus last night. But as you say, we had like 3 days between games. We didn't have a lot of time to recover and train. But I'm just amazed at the way, it's not just the approach and the mentality of the players, but we played a completely different game. It's like, mm-hmm. You know, we have got it. We have got the ability to play a short passing game and mixing it up with direct passes when we want to. I just wish we did it more often.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you spoke about kind of the sharpness as well. And two of those players that really kind of stood out as being sharp were both Bojan and Jamie McGrath last night, with their touches and their movement as well. And again, last night, I think I mentioned it after the Pout game as well, that it really feels like we're really having to enjoy Bojan for as long as possible, because putting in these performances and, you know, being that standout up top when the other strikers aren't scoring, obviously we'll come on to the fact that Duke got his second league goal of the season a bit later, it is going to continue to grab attention.
Don't want to think about that, but yes, you're probably right. And I think we're going to struggle in January to hold off bids for him. And I'm not even sure that we'll be able to succeed in doing that. I'd prefer him to stay, obviously. But it's clear he's motivated just now. He is really putting himself in the shop window with a view to getting a move to a higher level. And fair play. I mean, you can't grudge him that. He's still doing it on the park. You know, some players, he's not want. I don't think he's wanting away as such, but no. I think he's aware. He's aware that if he does play the way he is playing and keeps scoring goals and creating chances, then other teams are going to look at him. I don't want to think about it, though.
I guess, though, on the other end of the scale, you've got to look at the money that we've spent in the summer. We've paid a lot of money for some questionable signings at this moment in time. I guess it's kind of harsh to judge on the lack of minutes for some, but we've spoken about both Nicky Devlin and Jamie McGrath, two excellent additions to the squad, although obviously McGrath came in with a few question marks from the support, but proving to be worth every non-penny that we spent on them right now. As you said, Devlin certainly up there for signing of the season.
He's got to be signing in the season so far. I think he's played. Has he played every game? I think he has. he's consistent. He was poor on Sunday. I mean, everybody was poor on Sunday, but I mean, I noticed that he was really poor on Sunday. Mm. Whereas even when the team isn't playing well, he tends to be one of those players who's a solid 6.5, 7 out of 10. Devlin has to be signing the season. McGrath, I'm still not 100% sold on, because I do think he drifts in and out. I mean, that may be just the type of player he is. If we're on the front foot, he's a good player. If we're on the back foot, and if we're not, if we're passive in a game like we were on Sunday, And against St Johnstone, I think he struggled as well. Yeah, he doesn't look great, but more in the plus column than the minus for me at the moment. Some of the other signings, I'm sure we'll come on to them maybe.
Yeah, well, the musical box says I'm impressed with Gartenman and Jensen. I think out of those two as well, we only spent money on Richard Jensen, of course, Stephen Gartenman on loan as well. And, you know, they've impressed so much that, of course, they're keeping Angus McDonald out the side just now as well. But, you know, I guess last episode we kind of spoke a little bit about the levels of recruitment. There are some shining lights in there just now, and we just need to see kind of a bit more regular levels of performance, I think, as you say, with like the likes of Jamie McGrath when he can't float in and out. Last night, obviously, we're going at a 2-0 up at halftime. Potential for more. Were you relatively content at halftime or a bit disappointed in the greediness of you to maybe want us to be more than 2-0 up at halftime?
No, in context, I was delighted with 2-0 because after Sunday, I was expecting a tougher game. So, yeah, we might have had more goals at halftime, but then Celtic struggled to beat them at Fir Park earlier in the season. So, you know, 2-0 at halftime away from home, you can't be too greedy.
No, and especially off the back of what we saw on Sunday as well. And what also encouraged me as well was the way we continued the momentum in the second half, albeit delayed still not really sure why. Referee communication was the official line. Now, whether that was because they couldn't hear each other or there was a issue with VAR, but of course we've seen what happened in the League Cup semi-final last year where sides played on without VAR. We won't go into that one too much, but a kind of strange one that if it wasn't an issue with VAR, why the game kind of didn't play on, because surely they can still be able to communicate with each other, like referee and linesman anyway.
Yeah, no idea. Can we talk about the ref? He was abysmal.
I mean
and not for us, but for Motherwell, he was abysmal. And the second goal, they had a prolonged VAR check for offside. As soon as the replay was shown, you could tell it was miles onside. I've got no idea why it took them 2 minutes plus to get the game restarted. Frustrating, to use a Callum word.
A Barry Thompson word.
What was his name? Is it Colin Stephen?
Colin Stephen, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting hairline.
Yeah, Sid from Toy Story.
Absolute joker. Had an absolute nightmare of a game.
And I know you were annoyed at him booking Keller Rose for time wasting as well.
We're already 3-0 up at it, or 4-0 up at the time, or 4-1, and he's booking Keller Rose for time wasting. We don't need time wasting.
He was time wasting, to be fair, to Kel. But some of the decisions were a bit baffling, and he certainly rattled the Motherwell players and fans in that opening 15 minutes of the second half. Although, strangely, I couldn't really argue with some of the decisions. I think what was annoying me was, I think it was Spencer who got booked for Motherwell. He had at least one or two challenges, including kicking the ball away, that could have resulted in a second yellow. And I think Callum Butcher as well, as we were discussing last night, when it was more of a surprise that he got booked for handball, not hacking one of our players down. Yeah. He too could have found himself getting his marching orders as well. So as bad as the referee was, but good in our circumstances, could have still been better for us.
He should have sent off at least one of their players. I think not frustration, because I was quite happy. He was incompetent. There were a few challenges that went in against Motherwell players where you'd be shouting for that as a free kick if that was your team. And more often than not, the easy option is to just give the foul, you know, because there's contact, blah, blah, blah. But he was seeming to insist that he get up and play on, and there's no foul there. I thought that was really amusing because the home fans were going mental. And on Red TV, you get the lovely sound effects from the season ticket holders in front of the box there, which... always amusing. I think Fir Park is a pretty good venue, but not as loud as Tynecastle or as booey as Tynecastle.
Yeah, but, or as booey as Ibrox was a couple of months ago.
Brilliant. But yeah, the ref was a joker, but he didn't affect our game as such. But yes, Motherwell dreadful team, full of hackers, full of Callum Butchers, really. And you know, when I actually the first time I saw he was on the field was when he got booked for handball. I was like, oh, he's on the field.
Yeah, well, I think he only came on at halftime as well, so it shows how long it took for him to actually pick up a booking. But you know, in speaking about the referee as well, you probably have to give him a bit of praise in terms of the third goal as well, because I guess maybe with VAR on the back as well, he could have quickly blown for a penalty when Jamie McGrath goes down under the challenge of Liam Kelly, although I think Liam Kelly was actually trying to insinuate it was a dive. And I know by your reaction, for those that are maybe tuning in on the audio version, are skeptical if that would have ended up being a penalty or not. But watching on the vlog of Gogsy back, because I didn't kind of appreciate it at the time last night, that goal actually starts from us blocking a Mika Bireth shot. And then getting the ball straight up the park to Boyan, who, you know, runs pretty much half the length of the pitch to get into the box. And then once again, is tackled superbly. But once again, it is an Aberdeen player alert to the ball. And Jamie McGrath finishes after contact, no contact with Liam Kelly, goes down. I was thinking penalty, but Jamie McGrath straight back up and puts the ball into the back of the net. And I'm guessing in your mind, does that because it wasn't going to be a penalty?
Correct. He realised, I think he wasn't even claiming for it. He, you know, he realised what he's done, I think. We'll talk about the build-up. Fantastic play from Boyan. Loads of space because Motherwell were pushing forward, obviously, to try and get back into the game. Boyan had, like, there was two defenders back and he had room to run into. Superb run by him. Again, good tackle. Again, like you say, the alertness of the support player, McGrath in this case, instead of Devlin, to pick up the scraps. He kind of, when he went over, I'm thinking, penalty, definitely, easy decision. Then he gets up, I'm like, oh, he's getting up. he can score. And boom, right in the back of the net. And then when you see the replay from behind the goals, you realise, I don't think he's actually touched him. That's why McGrath's got back up again and thought, I'll just finish it here now and never mind the decision.
Yeah, and kind of rounded off what was a good night for Bojan Miovski. It's weird though, you know, accredited with no assists despite what was some excellent build-up in terms of involvement to our goals last night. And kind of you mentioned it earlier, I think, about how much he had kind of maybe overplayed in the sense, and I definitely agree with you that I thought he would have come off sooner, potentially even at half time, to protect him for Saturday's semi-final. But he was allowed one final piss take of the Motherwell team with his sliding in to keep the ball in play. And I don't know how the referee, again, probably summing up his performance, decided to give a free kick to us when I don't think there was any foul in that. But glad that Barry took Boyan off at that point and gave Duke a run out. And obviously Duke goes on to get on the score sheet as well.
Yeah, it was nice to see Duke scoring a header from inside the six-yard box, which he should never be against some of Motherwell's performance last night. One of our smallest players getting a free header. It wasn't really it. Well, was it a free header? I suppose it was. He didn't really have to jump for it. And it was nice to see, obviously, the players were delighted that he got the goal. He's not had the best of form, as we know. I'm not sure this is the turning point either, but
no.
It was nice to see him getting a goal anyway to his name. He didn't really do much. I mean, with all the subs and changes and the fact we probably took the foot off the gas for the last 20, there was no real chance for him to really stamp his game on proceedings, or Sockler, when he came on, really didn't have a chance to show his worth either, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. You know, despite Stevie Cowan's best hopes that this was the turning point for Duke, I still don't really think he showed possibly the full last season Duke that we saw. But there was glimpses in there, and I think you saw how much obviously it meant not only to him but his teammates that he got that goal. And hopefully, you know, for everyone's sake, but including obviously Bojan's sake, that he can kick on and just take that bit of that pressure off Bojan's shoulders when it comes to goal scoring. But I think, as was pointed out in a few of the replies to our Twitter account last night, it was good to see a bit of a spread on the goals and other players, you know, getting up and chipping in where possible. You mentioned they're taking the foot off the gas in the last 20 minutes. That's probably taking the shine off what was an excellent first 70 minutes.
A little bit. I was really annoyed at the first goal we conceded. Although there is a deflection on the shot, it's a loopy kind of shot. It does bounce in front of Roos before it hits the back of the net. And it's one he should still be saving. And he was raging at the defence just immediately after it. So I'm not sure if there was somebody blocking his view. He couldn't see the ball until it was too late. But it's one he'll be really disappointed with not saving. And the second one is, it's casual. It's a mistake. I think is it Rubizic that makes the mistake?
Rubizic. Yeah.
Nice header on, actually. Yeah. The back post, but just a lapse in concentration. We need to cut those out on Saturday because we're playing a better team. Although the table doesn't necessarily reflect that at the moment. I expect Hibs will give us more troubles. But I'd just like to go back to the point we're making about the Duke goal and then everything. Last night, I think the difference between the way we played last night and some of the games after bad defeats last season was that it's obvious that the players are still in a good place in terms of spirit and in terms of playing for the manager, if you like to put it that way.
Yeah.
So that gives me hope that that we can actually kick on and string some results together in the league, which we need to do now after Saturday, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I guess, you know, the overreaction, if you want, including myself and Callum to Sunday.
I did that too.
It was probably just given the level of performance that we saw, you know, because it, as I said, I don't think it was a performance befitting of the Aberdeen shirt. But win last night and we went on to do, we've got a game in hand, win that game in hand and we're sitting in fourth place. It's remarkable how tight, I think it's only, is it 7 points separates fourth down to bottom of the table? I'm sure it is.
I think we're 8 behind St Mirren. We've played this, or is it 6? Actually, is it? I'm not sure it's 8. Anyway, we've played the same number of games as them, but it's unbelievably tight, which is why I'm saying we need to put a run of games together to put some distance between ourselves and the rest. I forgot what I was going to say just there, but it's good that, you know, we have the cup game on Saturday to, again, kind of reset. Let it sink in. I think we need to win, obviously, on Saturday to get to a cup final. Mm-hmm. But I think the league being the bread and butter, I'd like to see us going above Hearts and putting some distance between ourselves and them sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
they've had a tough run of fixtures and we're not above them yet, although we have a game in hand. So I was kind of hoping we'd come out of this little group of fixtures 4-5 points ahead of them, but it hasn't been, unfortunately.
No.
And we played, and you know, we played the way that we should be playing against teams like Motherwell, and that's kind of the anger from Sunday, is that with the investment we've made in the squad compared to the opposition, that's how we should be playing. And that's how, you know, if we can perform like that more often than not, then there will be no complaints from us, I guess. You know, there'll be no doubting of the manager, doubting of the team, you know, like there was after Sunday.
Yeah, so do you think last night showed signs that Robson's maybe learnt himself from Sunday's defeat? Because I saw someone actually mention today, and it was made me think, we didn't actually see a long throw last night either.
No, I think we did it defensively in the second half, but not in attack, which was great. We played short passes. We didn't hoof the ball. I think, did Kelleher Roos launched it a couple of times when they were pressing, I think. Mm-hmm. particularly in the first half. But I don't think the tactic wasn't to have Keller Roos shell the ball long all game like it was on Sunday. I'm not sure you could say he's learned, because that's the kind of stuff we were playing under him in March and April last year. So I think we've just gone back to that. I don't know what caused the change, but I'm glad that it came anyway.
Yeah, no, totally. And I just think as well that, you know, you're right about kind of this maybe mistakes that we saw creep in towards the end, because obviously that was a kind of point we'd started on. And I agree, I think Kyle should do better for the first goal despite the deflection. I think you always know if the keeper thinks he should have done better, because the first thing he'll do is berate the defence as well, try and deflect from himself. And then, you know, as good as Ruby's been, it's just another maybe kind of switch off from Ruby towards the back end of a game that's obviously once again costing us a goal as well. But there was a couple of other chances. I think there was a ball flashed across the face that Theo Bear couldn't quite get on the end. So, you know, I think going to that point you said, a team like Hibs will probably have viewed that last 20 minutes and taken encouragement from it. But as fans, we can't help but probably go into that false sense of hope that a victory gives you going into a game like this at the weekend.
I'd also like to say Hibs completely collapsed in the last sort of third of the game of their game on Tuesday. They were 2-0 up and cruising and somehow contrived to draw at home against Ross County. There may have been, because there's a cup final coming up on Saturday, players' minds start turning towards, you know, they think the game's won. Our game was won. We were 4-0 up. Hibs didn't get the job done, which is pretty funny, actually. But, I just think it was a switch off. I think it's understandable as well to the majority, especially in defence, for the majority of those guys thinking they're going to be starting on Saturday. They probably will be starting on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's forgivable, but I think, I don't want to see it again, but I'll let it off just this once.
Yeah, I think it's forgivable when you're 4-0 up. And you know you've managed to see the game, especially I think, you know, the second goal coming as late as it did, I think had it come in about 5 minutes earlier, there would have been a few, oh no, please let's just see the game out. So I think that's why there's maybe kind of not too much going to be kind of said and dwelled upon on it. But let's hope the focus has been now channeled towards Saturday, and he's been waiting in the wings for a few minutes, but we'll bring him onto the live just now. So joining us to help preview the game against Hibs on Saturday is Hibs fan and regular contributor to this podcast, Michael Monin. Michael, have you recovered from Tuesday night's capitulation?
Nah, it wasn't great, but these things happen. I heard what Johnny said there. Don't think I never heard what you said there, Johnny, regarding it being potentially funny. Humor's subjective, of course, but I don't know what happened, to be honest. I think we just thought we'd won, and then the manager tried to see it out, and then the changes that he made were not very good. So we kind of lost our shape and lost our way a wee bit, and then they scored twice. To be honest, that's kind of what happened. It was not really that good a game. Like, I mean, I know there was 4 goals in that, but it was not a great game.
And, you know, you've obviously got a new manager since the last time the two teams met. Nick Montgomery's come in. How would you rate Nick Montgomery so far? Obviously, a bit of a tough patch just now and a bit of a winless run. But what have you made of his appointment so far?
I do like him. There's an element of he is having to do and implement a system that players that he will... they're not his players, basically. Mm-hmm. And I know we've drawn quite a lot of games, but they're games that we would have lost under previous managers, especially in the positions we were in, 2-0 down at Tynecastle, we would never have came back under Lee Johnson anyway. The other night, we would have probably got beat. We would have probably got beat from Celtic at home. So there's definitely improvement. You can definitely see what he's trying to do, but he's still learning himself, and he's still trying to get to know our players, and he's trying to get our players to learn a system that he wants to do. So that just takes time, but definitely an improvement in terms of overall stability, I would say. And the fact that even that we've won like the quarterfinal game, like that was a hard game, especially at the time. Like, so men were absolutely flying at that time. So we had one, I think we had one of the tougher games, to be honest, of the whole draw.
And I guess quite comfortable. You know, Johnny, listening to Michael kind of describing some of those performances from a Hibs point of view, you know, 2-0 down at Tynecastle, coming back to draw 2-2, 2-0 up at home to Ross County, drawing 2-2. David McLennan earlier in the show said that Aberdeen are Jekyll and Hyde. You never know which Aberdeen will turn up on the day, and I guess that's very kind of on trend just now. And Hibs sound very much similar, and I guess both sets of fans will be hoping the best version of themselves turn up at Hampden on Saturday.
I'm hoping it's the Euro Aberdeen that turns up on Saturday. Maybe we thought we were going abroad and went to Motherwell yet last night. You never know. But hopefully it's the same. Hopefully it's the same formation as well. I think that would probably work in our favour from what I know about the way Hibs are trying to play. And that's very limited, I have to say. All that, and it's also informed by listening to your match against Celtic on the radio on Saturday, and hearing the Sports Sound pundits who are useless, having a heart attack every time Hibs try to play the ball out from the back. So it seems to be that Montgomery's got them trying to play football out from the back, a la Stephen Glass. Rocky Bashiri and Paul Hanlon as the two or the raw materials, which might not necessarily be the best thing.
No, and Michael, how do you feel about that kind of style of play from playing out the back? Is it, I guess, as you mentioned, it's not exactly players that Nick Montgomery signed, and he's dealing as best he can with that. Is that causing those players problems?
I just don't like it. I like good football, but I don't like when my goalies try to pass the ball across his 6-yard box for no real reason. it's a needless way to make me worry, I think. Especially in a game like that on Saturday, like you could do it 9 times, right, and it's fine. You get the ball away once, they've scored. Game, like, do you know what I mean? It's too high risk for what it is, and we're not Man City. Do you know what I mean? Like, Man City can play at that. Barcelona can play at that. Real Madrid. Like, all these amazing teams with goalies that could play centre mid for most clubs in the world. We do not have that. Do you know what I mean? And I think we need to sort of realise where we are. And there is nothing wrong with just hitting the ball up the park. There's nothing wrong with it.
And I noticed on Tuesday night against Ross County, David Marshall's now dropped down to the bench. Sadly, I was hoping that he might come into the game on Saturday. But also Martin Boyle was dropped to the bench as well. Was there some changes to that lineup on Tuesday? With, do you think that was Saturday in mind? Or I know certainly your opinion on Marshall will be in performances that will have affected his place in the team.
Well, Marshall played well last. Marshall played well against Celtic, to be fair. Very poor against Rangers, but he played well against Celtic. I think he was just dropped. Not dropped, like rested on Tuesday. Martin Boyle was definitely rested, but Martin Boyle's been very poor this season, to be honest. So I'm hoping a return to Hampden might spark something for him. Yeah, we made a few changes. Like Obita dropped out for Stevenson. Joe Newell was rested.
I saw Junior Tavares started as well. Of course,
Junior Tavares.
I got a goal as well.
He's a man reborn, by the way. You want to talk about Nick Montgomery's? How he's made a player out of him is unbelievable. By the way, the guy couldn't pass the ball prior to Mr. Montgomery coming in, but now he seems to have earned himself a place in the starting 11, and he's took his goal well. I don't know if he's seen it, but good finish, to be fair. And was,
so if he's playing, if he's starting on Saturday, who drops out then?
Well, this is the thing, because he started against Celtic. So in terms of who drops out, I don't know. I for what's worth, I don't think he will start. I think Levitt will start, to be honest. I think Levitt came in on the other night. Levitt was brilliant. So I think Levitt will probably start in midfield rather than Tavares. But the thing is, we've got so many options going forward as well that they could play any of them, to be honest. I don't know.
And I guess that's, you know, Nick Montgomery's maybe a bit spoilt for choice then in terms of selection. Johnny, I kind of can't help but feel we're not so spoilt for choice in terms of selections. And Michael Taylor mentioned earlier he would stick with the same 11 that started last night. No changes for him going into this weekend. And I forgot to bring up PGL Tunas, that the Doric Roberto Carlos was superb again. Jack McKenzie continuing his fine recent form. And obviously with Jimmy McGarry continuing to be absent from the team, really cementing that wing-back spot. And for me, kind of going into this game, it really is probably, do you start Connor Barron or Dante Polvara going into this game for me?
That's an interesting one. I would keep the same team as well. I think Robson probably will keep the same team because I think he likes that continuity and the momentum. And I think it suits, I think it's a good matchup for us. I think the thing that worries me about Hibs is their pace against our defenders, over the top maybe. But I think if we can get the midfield dominated, and that'll mean Shinny and either Barron or Polvara with McGrath and Clarkson, you know, playing a more freer role. I think we can get domination in midfield, and if we can, I think we'll win. But I do worry about the pace on the break or Hibs' pace up front.
Yeah, I'm not really so worried about the pace that Christian Doige might possess, but obviously you've got Martin Boyle, Ellie Ewan, and Dylan Vente looks quite handy up top. Do you expect him to start the game on Saturday night?
Yeah. In terms of... His goal scoring record isn't great so far, but like, he basically sacrificed himself last week to mark Cal McGregor. And he pretty much marked Cal McGregor at the game. That's why they couldn't pose any real threat to us. So he's very, very clever player, Dylan Vente, in that he will start off a number 9 centre forward, but he will put his cell on either the whole midfielder to nullify them, or target a centre half to nullify them, so that one of our other players can do their stuff. So even though he might not be a out and out number 9 in terms of a focal point for goals, although I do think if he gets the ball presented to him with a goal scoring opportunity, he'll probably score. He does offer a lot more that a lot of people probably don't see in terms of overall play. So I think he's a massive player for us. Yeah, and Doig is injured, by the way. That's why he won't be.
To be fair, I thought Dylan Vente was absolutely terrible at Pittodrie, and it wasn't until Lafondra came on that he's actually looked half decent going forward. But obviously we switched off. Again, Johnny, going back to that kind of lapses in concentration. And I think, you know, there's been a few comments about the kind of quality of the both sets of, you know, teams going into this game. The musical box saying, I think man for man, we are quite a bit better than Hibs as long as we have the right team on the field. I don't know how you feel about that comment, but I do feel from an Aberdeen point of view, it's going to be our setup and how we approach the game on Saturday that will kind of dictate whether or not we get a positive performance. Because if we can kind of dictate the game as we did last night in terms of use our passing style, I personally think Hibs will struggle to cope with that.
I think I disagree with the musical box. I don't think there's a massive difference between the teams. I do think Hibs at the back can be got at. I think they're quite fragile at the back. I don't know if Michael would confirm or deny that. But I think if we can play the same way that we played last night, and not hoof the ball long, play a bit of football, and play through Hibs midfield, I think we can win. But it's a toss of a coin for me. I don't know who's the favourite going into it. And I wouldn't be confident in saying we'll definitely win if we play well, because again, Hibs have, I think, a lot more threat up front than Motherwell or Kilmarnock for that matter. And we've had two, you know, one good result, one bad result going into it. So I don't know what team's going to turn up on Saturday. I'm hoping it's the one last night and, you know, that Jekyll and Hyde thing comes back again. I don't know about Hibs. I don't know. I've not really seen them at all this season. I don't know if they're up and down or if they're, you know, consistent, but just slip up occasionally. So, yeah, I think that we can get at them at the back. I think Miowski's in great form. I would hope he would give them some trouble. And I think Duke probably starts on the bench. And if we're chasing the game late on, he'll come on to give them a bit more to worry about. But I just hope it's a good game.
Yeah, I hope it's a good game as well. And I think I'd agree with you that Duke probably does start on the bench. Michael, of course, you've got freedom to reply on some of the points there that Johnny made about the Hibs defence being potentially your weakest area. And as Michael Taylor said in the comments as well, he hopes Hanlon plays for him. He's a bit of a liability. And I know you obviously messaged me earlier this afternoon saying that you were the result probably Aberdeen got hasn't kind of helped. You know, now certainly players like Bojan, Jamie McGrath are going to be going into this weekend full of confidence. But Michael also highlighting that he feels Eli Yuan's by far your best player, very dangerous. Would you agree with that assessment from Michael Taylor?
Yuan's like, he's a good player, but Joe Neal's our best player. If Joe Neal's in control of the game, we'll win the game. I think it's as simple as that. I would agree with John, everyone's midfield battle will win the game, probably a fair point to be fair. But I think if Joe Newell is in control of the game, we'll win the game, I think. I would agree with Michael there about Hanlon, but I don't think Paul Hanlon will play. He's kind of been ushered out the team a little bit since Montgomery's came in. It'll be Rocky and Will Fish at the back, I should imagine. And this is a sentence I never thought I'd ever say, but Rocky Bashiri coming off on Tuesday night cost us the game.
Wow.
Because he was winning absolutely everything against that team, who are an absolute gang, by the way. Winning absolutely everything. Physically, one of his tackles, they weren't getting past him, and then they took him off, and the defence went into absolute disarray. So, hopefully, Montgomery learns for that. And I don't think Paul Hannon will be playing, so hopefully, that's not something we need to worry about.
Going into this game, it's kind of both managers are still learning. Obviously, I know, Johnny, your feelings on Barin, obviously, I think I quoted you on the last episode about, you know, using the term apprenticeship and, you know, about in terms of even just speaking about the Motherwell game, he's learnt from some of the kind of style of play going into that. Nick Montgomery's only, you know, a handful of games into his Scottish footballing career. These are two managers that are going to be feeling each other out, but also trying to get the best product. As Paul Donaldson says, it's going to be a very close game that could go all the way, hopefully. Barry has the team practicing penalties before they head down the road to Glasgow tomorrow night.
Could be a late one then. I do hope it doesn't go to penalties. It could do. It'll be tight. I'm expecting goals because we can't keep the back door shut and neither can Hibs. So it could be like a 4-3 or a something wild like that. Now I've said that, it'll be 0-0 or 1-0 or penalties after 0-0, and who knows. I just don't know what to expect, but it should be good. I'm coming over, so it should be a good day out, if anything.
I've got a question. I don't know if you've covered this before me coming on, but do you think the fact this will be Aberdeen's fourth game in 9 days will have an effect?
We didn't cover it, but I did kind of touch on it after the Kilmarnock game, and I think it's fair to say it could have an effect. But, you know, with all the sports science going on. There should be recovery. I think for me, it's the up and down that might take out on the players as well. The traveling that gets involved. And I'm sure, you know, especially last night was probably a late night getting back to Aberdeen and then trying to get that rest into them. But I guess, Johnny, that is a fair point, and we could see that potentially affecting Aberdeen last 15, 20 minutes. But Barry did want to pride himself on us being a fit team.
It is a fair point, but we did have sort of 2.5 weeks off before that.
True.
So it's not like it's been 4 games in 9 days off the back of, you know, week in, week out. So we've had, the players have had rest. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Robson doesn't think it's an issue because otherwise he would have done what Montgomery did last night and rotated the starting 11. Mm. So I think the reason, I'm coming back to it again, the reason that Barry Robson said we were leggy on Sunday is more to do with mental fatigue than actual physical fatigue. And they didn't really show any signs of physical fatigue last night. So, no, I don't expect it to be a factor.
And I don't really think, though, that physical fatigue kind of showed last night either. I think the point you made about maybe just kind of mind switching to Saturday was more what we saw in that last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I totally believe that. It was 4-0. The game was done. We didn't have to press it. It was annoying for us as fans to see us losing two cheap goals, but it didn't cost us anything except goal difference, really. Let's see.
Mark Attack saying that the team have actually stayed down in Glasgow. So
that makes sense because they'd be back late last night and then back down again, you would assume Friday, staying overnight.
Yeah, well, I think Conor Barron alluded to that going down on Friday. So I agree that does make sense. Michael, we've spoke about the kind of the pace. Well, certainly Johnny's touched on the pace that Hibs possess and can look to hurt Aberdeen. Paul Cockwell, resident Hybe that tunes into the show, so you're not the only Hybe on the show tonight, Michael, says about Martin Boyle loving that Hampden pitch, kind of a point that you've made as well. Mm-hmm. How much are Hibs possibly going to look to use that pace and maybe counter-attack Aberdeen? Again, if going on that point you made about potentially the amount of games in such a short period of time catching up with Aberdeen.
I think we'll definitely look to utilise our pace, but I don't think we're going to... I think we'll have most of the ball, to be honest.
Oh, we do, because that's how we'll win.
Yeah, I think we'll have most of the ball, to be honest, and I think that we'll look to try and just pass the ball about and get our sort of quicker players to move about until one of your players stops concentrating, really, and then take it from there. That's what I was asking about the 4 games in 9 days sort of thing, because say this is one of the Hibs ones I did earlier. If we thought you were playing like 5 in midfield kind of thing. So if you are very like disciplined, very compact, very rigid tactically, not only is it a lot of running about, but it requires an unbelievable amount of mental focus. And all it takes is one player to switch off. And we're in behind you, and then we've scored potentially. Do you know what I mean? So, I think if we've got plenty of the ball, we'll more than get enough chances to score, or at least look to threaten you. And it's not just through Martin Boyle that we'll look to do that, although he's handy to have.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And again, Johnny goes back to the point that we made before we kind of touched on this about kind of those silly mistakes and having to stay focused for the full 90 minutes and kind of not switch off.
Yeah, although we probably showed that we can do that at Ibrox, although we did let in a goal there. And the Pauk game for 70 minutes, again, Pauk and Rangers, probably better teams than Hibs. I think we can absorb that pressure from Hibs. I'm not sure it's going to be like a 60-40 possession split. I think it'll be closer than that, but I think probably we'll be happy to let Hibs have the ball in their half and to press and break the ball and break up their moves. But yeah, midfield's where it happens. Shinny versus Newell in the midfield. It should be good. Three bookings. One thing I'm interested in, I don't know what you guys think. The Hampden pitch last year for the semis was a disgrace after a load of rain on the Saturday game. Remember?
Yeah.
Play against Celtic. I don't know if, because they've had loads of rain lately, I'm be interested to see what state the pitch is in. I don't know if they've relayed it since then.
Well, I know obviously Queen's Park played at home to Park Thistle last Friday, and I didn't actually catch any of the game. I don't know if it was the televised game on BBC Scotland, but I don't think there'll have been a game played on that, and it's probably a fair point, probably a benefit to us playing on the Saturday, and we don't have Rangers and Hearts turning up the pitch as well. But I guess kind of on that as well, one point that's maybe going to be potentially picked up more so by the media rather than both sets of fans is the ticket sales going into this game. You know, Johnny, we're slowly approaching 13,000 sales from an Aberdeen point of view. I think given the, you know, amount of away fixtures we've got, the fact that we're travelling to Greece on Thursday as well and then Parkhead, I think, you know, 13,000 isn't to be sniffed at, although I know if obviously either side makes the final, I'm sure it'll be difficult to argue for a 50-50 split. But what do you make of the ticket sales going into this weekend's game?
I'm not surprised. 13,000 is just what we take for semi-finals. Bearing in mind, it's a later, I know it's a Saturday, but it's getting home if you're not driving or on a supporters bus might be difficult. Michael's laughing. I don't know why yet, but I guess we'll find out.
Yep. It's going to be the train comments going to come out.
I'm not surprised. I think it's 13 is decent. I'm quite happy with that. You know?
Yeah, I'm happy with that as well. And I think, you know, Hibs, by all accounts, Michael, have sold the same sort of amount of tickets going into this weekend.
Well, I don't want in the ticket office, so don't quote me, but I believe we've sold just over 15. But I'm not, I don't know. I hate this argument. You know what I mean? I buy my ticket. I'm going. That's all I can do. Do you know what I mean? That's I don't care. Like, as long as I'm there, I don't actually care. I'd be, if they played in front of me, I'd be like, fine, get the game on. As long as I'm there, I don't care.
Yeah, it's not attendance FC that they don't play till Sunday. But I think you know, it's a fair point. Both sets of fans that are there will do their best to get behind the team. And I think, you know, I'm with Johnny. I think it's going to be a close game. But I don't know. It's last night's given me a lot of confidence that I was not expecting to have going into the weekend. That. Johnny, still
I'm tempered. I'm not confident. Okay. I'm confident that if we play like we did last night, then we can win. If they're not motivated to turn up at Hampden in a semi-final, then we might as well all go home. You know, there's no point. So yeah, I think the team will be motivated. Both teams will be motivated, obviously.
Yeah.
There'll be 30,000 inside Hampden. It'll be Sunday night. We'll all have had a few beers. The atmosphere will be great. Even if Michael doesn't care. The atmosphere will be it'll be bouncing. I just hope that we're going home happy after this one. Haven't done that from Hampden at a semi final for a while.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, Michael, we're speaking in terms of an Aberdeen point of view and having a bit of confidence. As I said, Hibs not on a great run of form. What is the confidence like from a Hibs fan going into this game? Or is there that confidence because anything can happen in cup football?
I wouldn't say we're not in great form. I'd say we've lost one game in eight. Albeit, granted, there's a few, like, quite a lot of draws in there, but it's not
a winless run then.
It's not disastrous form, is it? Like, I think we'll win.
Wouldn't expect you to come on here and say that you're going to lose.
No, but I've done it plenty of times before. I think we'll win. And I thought we'd win prior to last night. I thought last night, obviously not ideal, but it's not really changed my opinion, to be honest.
Where do you think the game's won and lost then at the weekend, Michael?
Midfield. Absolutely. Same as most games, really. Same as most close games. Everyone's in midfield won the game. I think we've got more players that can win a game of football.
Yeah, we've got Bojan Miłoszki, so it gives
me one. That's respectfully one. Disagree.
That's fine, yeah. You're right and wrong.
Well, it's been interesting to kind of hear both sides of the argument going into this weekend. It'll be a close game, but let's just hope that Aberdeen come out on the right side of that, all things considered. Johnny, safe trip over from Ireland and enjoy the game as well. And Michael, safe trip through to Hampden as well. And hopefully you're sad come full time as well. But thanks as well, Johnny, for coming on and helping me out on this podcast. If you have been joining us live on the YouTube channel tonight, remember to leave a like on the video. Subscribe if you're new to the channel. We're so close to hitting 1,750, so it'd be great to do that before the semi-final. And hopefully when we're back next week, we're speaking about being in a final and previewing that trip to Greece. So thanks very much for tuning in. Until next time.
Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.